Hello, everybody. This is Sean Random, getting ready to start a show. But listen real quick, there's content in this show. Yeah, this is a content warning, because this show, from time to time, Andrew's got a really dirty mouth. I have spoken to him on multiple occasions, and I've explained to him that it's not appropriate. It's not something that makes people more attractive. It's actually a rather ugly... Wait, what's that? Oh, it's mostly me. My bad. Either way, there's some swear words in this. Enjoy.
Hello, this is Andrew Bush from The Random Bush Show, and you're about to listen to an episode of me talking about stuff alongside of my good buddy, pal, and confidant, Mr. Sean Random. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Today's episode is brought to us by Hacky Sack. Hacky Sack, distracting hippies and wayward teens since the late 60s.
No, I don't think you guys thought that you were the same person.
Well, I mean, like on a, you know that we're separate people.
Yeah.
Our friends, our family, but like, I mean like auditions, submissions, we have the same legal name. He's not legally Sean Random. He's legally Sean Randolph. So when he goes to an audition and fills out a W-2, he has to put Sean Randolph on it. When I submit a script and they go, who do we write this check to? I don't say write Sean Random on that check.
Yeah.
I give him my real name because I want to cash that check.
Well, I mean, I think at some point too that, you know, maybe within those months, let's just assume that you could get your names legally changed and you know that that's what it's
going to be.
Okay, so
we're two completely...
Or you go...
Because I was hoping that Fat Sean could show up on set the next day like, hey, my memory's better, but what happened to my body?
Well, he could. That's what I'm saying. I think that he would go back to you and say, like, we got to do something about this. We got to be able to fake it. We got to be able to do whatever. And then you could literally
walk
in...
This was the whole point of this.
You could literally go in and say, like... Oh, like I'm, you know, like I'm going to go and I'm going to do that. But the thing is that they were really looking for him to be, you know, it's a scene that's like in a warehouse and he has like oil all over him and he's wearing like this tank top and everything. And
just kinda, ripped. He's cut.
Yeah.
No one wants to see this covered in oil.
For the past 4 months, he's been training, doing choreography
Not
with
just
like
training,
sword.
Training with Hollywood trainers.
Yes.
That purposely do this work.
Yes.
I'm getting Brett Butler ripped.
Yes.
Right. I get it. Not me, but him.
Yeah.
I get it.
In the meantime, one of your scripts is getting picked up by an indie film company and
Sweet.
They're looking to go ahead and push forward with it. And they're in the beginning pre-production stage. And so they're trying to figure all this out. What do you start to tell people? What is the plan from here?
Can I outwardly tell the world like, hey guys, so I cloned myself 6 months ago. There's two of us. Would that be a scandal? Would the world be like, Sean, that is an abuse of tech. Okay. So that's,
if you say that, then the indie film company is going to say, we want nothing to do with this.
Okay,
because
so I can't let the world
McClone
know.
McClone has since, in the past 4 months, gone through a major lawsuit.
Okay, so it's...
They're shutting down. They're
looked at as immoral.
People are like, that is crazy. It's something that maybe in the next 5 to 6 years, they'll try again. But right now, it's just way too early. It's like the electric car in
the
80s.
Before we shut you down, did you do any cloning? You know, one or two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the electric car in the 80s where they're just like, this is a great idea. Let's not do it for 20 years.
Wait a minute. Did Big Oil shut down cloning?
It's big genetics.
There's
big genetics shut down cloning. Yeah.
I think that's more of a big pharma.
Somebody shut it down.
They shut it down. Okay.
They were like, we can't be doing this just yet. There's a bunch of other uses. So that would be a scandal. So literally what you and the other Sean have been telling people is that your brothers... And you know, he has since gotten a little bit of a different hairstyle.
Sure.
And like, you know.
Well, he's got a completely different body.
Yeah. He's got a different look. He's got a couple more tattoos than you do now.
Oh, and like, he's cooler. You know, he's cooler than me?
Well, he's trying to be.
Yeah, of course he is. He's on the scene.
He's being the guy
he's
on the scene.
Out with
he's
open
doing
micers,
the different things.
He's on set.
Exactly.
He's with
exactly.
celebrity. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck, man. I fucked up. I want to be him.
Well, no. You have.
I am him.
No, but
you have an indie movie
this that's coming. Well, he's also started down.
Oh shit!
A very...
He wants to be me.
Yeah,
we're both achieving.
He's very
our
sad.
Other goals.
Yeah, he's very sad. He's always like, I can't eat anything that I want. Like
he's
I'm miserable.
Not
he's not allowed to go drink.
In a creative
yeah,
way.
Exactly. Like
he's kind of a piece of me.
Yeah, people.
A
you're
bit
you're
of a
taking
tool.
Meetings and people are telling you that you're like a genius and thanks for coming onto the scene and like we really enjoyed your script and we're
Meanwhile,
pushing forward with it.
I'm staying at home. I'm typing every day. I'm not being social.
He's had quite a few rejections leading up to this.
I'm trying to play both sides. Yeah. From my perspective, from Randolph's perspective, Random goes out every night. He's wearing nice clothes. He looks good. He comes home with these beautiful people, you know, socially and sexually. Randolph is very jealous of the experiences that Random is having. At the same time, Random is becoming jealous of Randolph's creative being appreciated as a creative individual.
Yeah.
Ooh. You're starting a fire.
Yeah.
I presume by this point we have like a 2-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
You guys got our own closet.
You guys got your own place and the two different rooms. Like, it's all the same guy,
pretty soon,
obviously.
I'm going to have a 2-bedroom apartment.
But your place is kind of, yeah, because he is dying.
Right. It's not so bad that he can't go out in public yet, but he definitely needs to be accompanied.
Yeah, he's getting something where, like, he has to go and talk to his agent and be like, I don't think I'm going to be able to finish this movie. What's going to happen next is that I'm going to have to drop out of this movie because I'm very, very sick.
He would never do it. I know me. I would.
You wouldn't drop out?
I will show up on set with 106 degree temperature and I'll look
throwing people, up all over
people.
People
will be like, Sean, you don't look so good. We could cancel this. I'm like, no, I'm fine. You don't look so good. Let's do this. I have gone, you know stage sickness. You know how this works. For our listener, oddly, there's some kind of, I don't know if this is magic or adrenaline. There's a weird thing. If you put yourself out on stage, you will get this stage energy. What is it? Stage health? There's a word for it. You know what I'm talking
about.
There's something where, like, there are all these famous stories. Every director has one where this actor was on their last leg and they had one performance left and they went out and did a 2-hour show where they sang show tunes at the top of their lungs for 2 hours and it was the best show they ever got and they won a Tony and they had a 106 degree temperature and then they died after the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's like every director has that story. And I've seen that. I was in a production of Annie once.
Yeah.
Where the little girl who's playing Annie, everybody's an adult except for this one little actress because you can't do Annie without, you know, a child, which makes it one of the worst shows ever because it has so many children actors in it. She was very sick. And she's a child, so none of the adults were like, come on, get it together. You know, like, it would be different if they were an adult. We would try to encourage them, like, you can pull this off. You got it, bro. You know, but this was a child. And the director was telling one of these stories. And I was in the room and kind of, I'm not going to talk down to the director, but I was kind of like, it's a little kid. You're trying to save your show by devaluing a kid's health. Like, this is a different, that's not an actor per se. It's not an adult that makes their own choices. But this kid went out, did an amazing performance, delivered. And it was in that moment when I learned, oh, stage health is a thing.
Yeah.
It really is. And then I've had experiences where I'm not feeling well, maybe not super sick, but you go out and you do the show and somewhere mid-performance you go, I feel all right. This is working out.
Let's say that your clone, knowing there's a clone now, gets really dizzy when rehearsing.
So it's just not working.
Falls down.
Oh, this is bad.
And they have to get him. They're literally like, our insurance will not be able to cover somebody. Like, if he dies on set, it will also kill this movie. We're going to have to get somebody else.
I know this much. When Random starts getting sick on set, the directors are going to pull him aside, have a sit-down meeting, not in front of the cast and crew, and they're going to say, hey, what the fuck's going on? Clearly there's a problem. And at that point, Random's going to break down and tell him about the clone.
Yeah, they call Jai Courtney.
Who?
They call Jai Courtney.
Can I see a picture?
Yeah, let me show you who Jai Courtney is. This is who they get to replace you as Jai Courtney, just because they just go, you know what? Jai Courtney could do this. So, this is Jai.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, no, he could definitely do it.
Yeah,
damn
so...
it.
So... He Sean Random.
Beat oh, don't him replace out me with him. He's so much just, better looking than I am.
No, but he.
I'll never get back to it.
But Random beat him out by just a little bit because they were looking for someone who was a little bit more
personality.
Character. Someone who could pull off a little bit more.
This is
sass
drama, but they wanted comedic timing.
So they kind of push him aside, and plus he has another project that he was working on, and
he's a very talented person.
They weren't meeting the money that he wanted for that, but Sean Random would do it for the money.
Fuck
he needed it. This is his first big break.
Free.
Yeah, exactly. So they have to call Jai and go, listen, we're going to have to push up the budget anyways. Just take the money that they've already been losing from the studio for having Sean Random be sick all the time.
There's some article in backstage. Random's not working out. Bringing in Jai.
And poor Random is he's in the hospital and he's not looking good.
in his last couple weeks here.
Well, if he's in the hospital, by this point, the whole cloning thing is out.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with him. I'm his twin brother that you never knew about.
Well, no. They go and they look at his cells, and there is a whole controversy where they're like, wait a second, his cells are deteriorating as if he has cancer everywhere. Like, this whole thing, like, he is
I brought him in, I'd be like, look, it was 5.5 months ago.
Yeah.
It was legal to go to McCloney's.
Yeah.
It hadn't been shut down yet. Mm. So we're a grandfathered case. They would get that.
Yeah.
What we did, it wasn't immoral. It wasn't inappropriate. It was very modern, but it was totally in its own time, completely acceptable.
Yeah.
It's just a quick change. Yeah. It's a little uncomfortable, but you know, it's one of those things where the doctor kind of has to be like, well, this is the situation we're in. I've took an oath. So
now in his final breaths, this is the last conversation you're going to have with clone Sean. So take it away.
Okay, so it's not looking so good. I know. I wish I had some more time. I know, buddy. And, you know, it's there was no way to know. It was could have been you or me. I could be sitting. I don't know. This is weird. Can I get you something? Do you want something to drink or? I don't know. I could sneak a cigarette in here for you or something. Like I trust me, I get it. If anybody gets it, it's me. I'm you, right? Is there anything you need? Do you want me to tell anybody anything? How are we gonna make this transition? Should I just start showing up on your shooting schedule and just be like, I had some midlife puberty and my body changed overnight or something? Like how do we deal with this? What do we do? I want you to be me. I am you. No, just go and do the things that I did and just be me. But what about me? Be you too. Be us. And he dies. And I cry. And then I stop crying because I'm not dead, but I am dead. And it's weird. And a doctor comes in and they go, oh, stand over here. And machines are doing things. And I'm like, is he alive or dead?
Clear.
And they're like, Mr. Who the hell are you? What the hell?
And that song plays. That song plays at the very end. How to save a life. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, and at the last minute, I'm like, harvest all of his organs and put him on ice. I might need that shit. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. That's it.
Oh, I thought it was
dun, dun, dun. Now we come to the end of another show.
Well, now there's that only one Andrew and one. Well, no, there is another little part.
Yeah.
Because you need to come home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've been gone.
Yeah.
Felicia had to deal with this guy for 6 months. Who she loves is you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, she's aware of the situation, so there's been a divide.
Yeah.
But there's been a divide between the two of you as well. For the last 6 months, there's been a divide in your marriage.
We'll get over it.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm very confident that you will. I don't mean it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Her and him had some good times. Not in a weird way, but I mean, you know, like they went to a couple of movies.
Yeah.
They had dinner a couple of times. He had taken an interest in playing trumpet. That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But he had started playing trumpet. He would play like he really got into the blues, like in that whole
scene. I could figure out how to play trumpet. If he knew how to do it, I could do it.
Well, it took him a while to learn.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he would just, you know, every night he'd go to work.
Yeah.
He'd come home, he'd have dinner with Felicia, he'd go into his room and practice trumpet. Felicia kind of came to really enjoy that muffled trumpet phallow sound in the background, and she misses it. But she doesn't want you to start playing trumpet.
Yeah, I don't want to play trumpet.
That's
yeah.
not you.
Well, I don't want to learn to play trumpet.
Right, but it's also...
He's a dumb guy.
Even if you did...
He's a clone. What do you care?
Well, she would
He's
be like...
gone. Fuck him.
But here's the thing. You come home. You're in your home.
Uh-huh.
You're going through his room, because those are your things now. And you find this trumpet, and you're like, oh... What is this? Mm-hmm. Why is there this? What is this? Right? And so you start kind of playing it, and she quickly comes in and goes, hey, you know what, Andrew, I'd really rather you not do that because that was his.
Well, he is me.
Yeah, but I would just, that was our thing.
Our thing?
I mean, no, we have, there's us.
You know he was a clone, right?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, but
yeah,
but we didn't know that.
No, but he's a clone.
Right, but yes, but he was still you.
Yeah.
And she loves you, so she loved him. And losing him has been a rather
There's
hurtful.
No way he learned how to play trumpet. That's such a hard he thing to learning. Learn how to do.
He was learning.
That's so difficult. If he was so great at it, why wouldn't I be able to
No,
learn
he wasn't
how to
super
do
great.
It.
He was just learning.
He was probably terrible at it. Yeah. I've tried to play trumpet, and it's hard.
He would practice the scales at night. Yeah. He was getting his fingering together. I don't know anything about trumpeting. So
I don't know what to do.
I've used all of my terminology.
Maybe we'll sell this trumpet, because I don't know what else to do with it.
Oh, yeah, no, you definitely got to get rid of it, because it reminds Felicia of him.
Yeah.
But a lot of things remind Felicia of him.
Yeah, like me.
Like you. Oh, my goodness.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, she lost you. She yeah. still has you,
yeah.
but she also lost you, which is something that you have to deal with. Because every once in a while, she might go, oh.
Yeah, but no, I lost them too, though. Like,
yeah,
that's
but you guys,
thing.
You weren't friends. You didn't really like one another. You got away from one another far away from each other as you
but
could.
But that's the weird thing about that, isn't that? Is that if I hadn't come into my own life, I wouldn't have gone to Florida and I wouldn't have had a whole other experience based on him coming into my life. I would have just kept on living my life. There wouldn't have been any adventure at all. I would have just kept on doing what I did for the past 6 months without animosity, without anything. So for me, he was an antagonist into my life that brought adventure into it. And I miss that part of him. I miss that part of what he represented and what he brought in, and what I brought in.
Sure.
I think that bringing in a clone of myself would bring in the greatest competitor and antagonist to my life that I had ever experienced. Because if I can get past him, just like in real life, if I can get over myself, if I'm not standing in my way, then I can do anything.
That's a lot of growth.
Yeah.
Sure. Totally.
So
I see that.
That's probably the part that makes it difficult now, because he's not a physical representation outside of me. So now the only thing that I have in my way again is me.
Yeah. Or the memory of
Or the
you.
Memory of
oh,
me.
Oh, that's weird.
So again, it's like, I kind of wish there was a physical representation, because any other person, any other thing, any other obstacle, I can get past. The only thing that I can't get past is myself.
Right. Sure. So you're now back in California. Mm-hmm. Your clone is gone. My clone is gone. Yeah. And you call me up and you're like, hey, Sean, it's me. It's me, Andrew me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, hey, buddy, it's me, Sean me. It was random. He was the clone, as it works out. Well, why don't you come over? We'll do a podcast. And so you come over. We sit down. We find ourselves in this situation. And I go, so last week you were telling me about this.
Yeah.
That wasn't you last week.
Oh.
That was the other you. Right. Me and him have been doing a podcast for the last 6 months.
Damn.
Have you been listening? Because you're a star of the show.
I actually wonder if the other Andrew who lives in Florida right now is going to, you know, listen to this.
No, you are the Florida Andrew. You've come home.
Oh, gotcha.
Right. He's gone now. You're just the Andrew.
I haven't.
Been doing a podcast with that Andrew for 6 months. Have you been listening? Because they're technically your words.
Yeah. I mean, they've actually gotten a lot better.
Actually, I've noticed that.
he had some pretty great ideas. And
actually, it was just our clones doing the podcast.
Yeah,
they
were
fucking great.
They raised all of our listenership to the millions.
Well, here's the problem. Like, you were in Florida cool in your heels. I was working as a writer.
Yeah.
We kind of lost a step.
Yeah, we lost some spark there.
So here we are just like starting this podcast, which were many episodes deep.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what we're doing.
No clue. It's very difficult coming in.
But it feels like we should continue the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do we say now?
Well, normally the other Sean would say like, well, I guess we've come to the end of another episode.
Yeah.
What would the other Andrew say?
Probably like some sort of like call to act like, oh, if you guys enjoyed this, you should like look
perfect.
Us up on like. What are the social medias? They're like The Random Bush or At The Random Bush.
At The Random Bush is the Twitter one. Uh-huh. I think that's the same for the Instagram.
Yeah. Or you can just send like an email, like therandombushpodcast@gmail.
No, just Random Bush Podcast.
Random Bush Podcast. Gmail. See, my clone knows that.
Well, I got like an email from my clone to explain all of this to me.
Oh, he sent it to. See, my guy was just like, oh, fuck you. I'm going to die and whatever. Like,
wow.
Playing the trumpet. I don't know. Like, that's his whole
thing.
Wait,
he played the trumpet?
Yeah. Did you hear?
No.
Can you
play the trumpet?
No, it's a really difficult instrument to learn how to play. I have no idea.
It's so weird.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. And it's only, here's the thing.
My guy got married. So I guess I got this weird wife now.
Yeah.
She's over in Brookwood. I gotta go there tonight and meet her.
Weird.
Yeah, I've never even met this lady, so that'll be fun.
I mean, I really was starting to think, you know, 6 months, I was worried that I would be the clone, but here I am.
Did you do anything in Florida? Like, what did you just get like a regular day job? And
well, I started working at a water treatment plant.
Did your mom keep you at like a distance? Was she aware of the clone thing?
I never told her.
Everything was fine?
Yeah, okay. Everything was just fine. She thought that we were just kind of, I just kind of told her that I had, you know, thing that I was doing here for the next 6 months.
That's so weird because we finally got Felicia out here and then you had to go back to Florida for 6 months.
Yeah, sucked.
Right, well, it's all over now.
Yep.
It's all behind us.
All right.
But here's the thing. The laws have changed and McCloney's is opening up again next week.
I will never, ever set foot in McCloney's ever again.
But they've got the whole system worked out.
No, I don't care.
Productivity.
I'm not doing that again.
I'm thinking about getting 4 or 5.
Oh, well, you have fun doing that, Sean.
We got along so well.
I'm out.
All right. Well, I am the real prime Sean Random.
And I am the real number one Andrew A, Andrew 1.
I'm a little suspicious
Andrew
of that.
Andrew Bush only.
And this, my friends, is the Random Bush.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Woo!
Here we are in the dreaded attic space. A typical attic provides the ideal atmospheric elements for monster habitation. They tend to be stuffy, musty, and stagnant, crammed full of disorderly stacks of forgotten and broken personal possessions. Attics become stiflingly hot in the summers, bitterly cold in the winter, and generally unpleasant during the rest of the year. And of course, rarely if ever are equipped with ample lighting. In fact, the poor lighting and disorganized stacks of storage items can often work together in the monster's favor. Combined, they create a space of varying light and shadow depth, essentially a playground for a monster to inhabit. If a monster is really lucky, they'll find an old attic with a leaky roof. This not only encourages a plethora of mold and bacteria, but also provides the space with the general appeal of both moist and sticky. But most importantly, and well known to all of monster kind, every attic is a warehouse of two very essential ingredients to monsters. Both spiderwebs and their precious dust can be dependably found in every attic. As we all know, monsters are primarily composites of fear, shattered promises, broken trust, and regret over poor choices. Being that they're not completely corporeal, they depend on very basic physicality of dust to embolden and solidify their form. Spiderwebs, and often loose pieces of string, are then sewn into the basic dust form to further strengthen their movement, much like our own musculature. However, being that the dust is essentially an element of the physical world, a monster cannot perpetually hold on to dust. A monster, in movement, will often cast off a small puff of dust within its wake. A good marker that a monster has been, or quite possibly still is, within your home is how quickly the dust piles up. On my initial assessment of a house, I always check top shelves and above cabinets. The house owner is often bashful when I inquire how often they dust, but once I've explained why I ask, and then show them the top of their cabinet, that usually clears any doubt of monster infestation or not. Hey, yes, fun fact! It's a difficult effort, and very labor-intensive, for a monster to mine and then hold on to the dust within their essence. So they really hate to lose it after putting in so much work. What I like to do is make them dust cloud. Well, that's what we call it in the monster-proofing industry. You see, if you corner one, a monster is well known to toss all their dust in one go, creating a brief distraction for them to escape the corner they're trapped in. We call it a dust cloud. It creates an awful mess. But what you have to keep in mind is, to even be able to create a dust cloud, they have to be a very powerful monster. When they're forced to abandon all their dust, they lose the bulk of their power, and then have to start over at square one, mining more dust. A monster is an immortal force, so it means little to them to have to start over from square one, but from my perspective, that's just one less powerful monster out there, at least for a little while. It's far too easy for a homeowner to simply abandon the attic space of their home to the monsters. As described, it's the least comfortable space in your home, and we very rarely have any need to go up there ourselves. You would be surprised how often I'll perform a monster-proofing assessment on a house, only to find an entire family of monsters living in the client's attic. The guy who trained me, so many years ago, told me a story. Once he was contracted by a rather large elementary school, he told me he found 15 different families of monsters and 2 human drifters living in the attic. The drifters had only been there for a couple of days, but many of the monsters' families had been living there for generations and were indignant about it when he gave them the boot. I love it when a monster tries to school me on squatter's rights. Now, the first thing I always do when entering any room is assess the level of ambient light. Here in this attic, we found it to be exactly as I had anticipated. The first improvement we put in are multiple track lighting features, much like we did down in the basement, and for much of the same purpose. Regarding hardware, we are bringing in a dust filtering system. This unit is basically an intake and blower fan system pumping the air in this room through a series of micron filters. The filters themselves are each made of 100% iron, as all non-corporeal creatures detest the touch of iron. It will ensure that no monster attempts to sabotage this device in an attempt to mine the trapped dust. And as a special feature, when activated, will ionize the air using a silver nitrate off-gassing system. The smell and taste of ionized air is reminiscent of disinfectant. It doesn't take a genius to figure out how monsters feel about disinfectant. An added bonus is spiders are repulsed by the smell of ozone for differing biological reasons. Their absence will drastically cut down on the presence of their webs. It's best to replace the filter at least once every 3 months. Or if you would prefer a more permanent solution, the option is available to simply mount the filter area directly to an additional wall console. The blower can then expel the excess dust safely and in an environmentally sound manner back into the world. This unit can even be connected to the entire house's HVAC system, or it can be used, as we're doing here, to focus on a single location. It all depends on the preference of the user. The third and final step in the Uncle Frank's three-step approach to attics is this little guy here. Yes, this is an average, regular old Roomba. This little guy here will serve a dual purpose, both keep the floor clean of any dust that happens to get past the filtering system, and pulling double time, this little guy will constantly be on the move in and around this space, making it feel occupied by any looky-loo monsters on the prowl for a new space to call home. So there you have it, from the top to the bottom, basement to attic. We have, to my satisfaction, successfully monster-proofed this house, and I am confident that my family's safety is ensured from the onslaught of pervasive monster activity. Join us next time when I team up with Richard Trickle, well known for his ghost hunting exploits.
Howdy there, audience member.
Yeah, I'm talking to you if you're listening to me right now. This is Andrew Bush from the Random Bush Show. I'm the second part of that name. That's Sean Random. I'm Andrew Bush. And right now what I want you to do is I want you to get onto Twitter and I want you to find us at The Random Bush. And I want you to leave me a little commente, a little commento. Say that you like the show or that you don't like the show. That's just a little fun thing to let me know that you heard this message. And if you act right now, you can go to Taco Bell, tell them that Random Bush sent you, and they will not do anything. They will say, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Do you want a taco? Please, for the love of God, order taco, get out of our store.
Oh, hey, all right. Well, there we are. We've once again come to the end of another episode. And, you know, I came here because I had to say goodbye. And I don't want to say goodbye to you. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to put myself out on a limb. I'm just going to lay it bare. Do you feel this? Is this just me? I mean, no, it's... Right? Like, we're both... Why don't, what if we don't end this? What if you and I, we just keep going on and on? And just... Maybe this is our thing. Maybe this is what we look forward to tomorrow and the day after that. And who knows? You have to... Well, I mean, of course, you have other obligations. Oh my god, it's embarrassing. No, I was more of hyperbole than anything. I wouldn't want you to think like, I mean, that would be really embarrassing if I just laid myself out there like that. No, you do you. I was joking. I was seriously. Okay, yeah, no, next week? Okay, great, no, I'll see you next week. I'm looking forward to it. No, it'd be wonderful. Okay. All right, okay. All right, bye-bye. Wonderful. It'll be wonderful. Damn it, Sean.